Hey, Dr. Randy here, Intentional Living Center, live on a beautiful Tucson day. Any day under 100 degrees is a great day in Tucson, right? Great. We got up this morning in the 40s, went for a walk. Beautiful. Hey, we're talking kids today, but we're talking about young adults. Do you have an adult son or daughter that maybe you're struggling with? You don't know how to relate. You don't know how to communicate. Maybe you feel like it just isn't the separation of moving into adulthood isn't working quite as easily as you thought. We're going to give you some help today. We'd love to have you join in. Maybe you have a question. You're welcome to join us. Or maybe you have one thing you're intentionally doing as a parent with those adult son or daughters that's been helpful for you and helpful in terms of your relationship that would be encouraging to someone downline listening today, somewhere around the country or the world. As you call 888-888-1717, that's the number, 888-888-1717. Lovely Amy's taking your calls today, filling in for Stephen, who's got the sniffles, but he'll be back. I told him, I said, keep your sniffles home, bring them, you can come in, leave your sniffles home, right? But Amy's helping out today. You know, we're talking about adulthood. It's interesting. Actor Ryan Gosling made this statement. Sometimes I think the one thing I love most about being an adult is the right to buy candy whenever and wherever I want. You know, we laugh at that, but maybe that's how you feel about a young adult, a child of yours. You still see them as a child, and yet they're an adult, and they want the right to buy the candy, but they don't necessarily want to take the responsibility to pick up the mess afterward or pay the bills or some other issue that you're concerned about. There's kind of a no man's land between childhood. When you have a child, you're the parent, and you're in charge, and that's why you have to be a smart parent to help them start to grow up throughout the years. And then you have the adults that have launched and they're on their own and they're doing great and you celebrate and you go on your vacation and you change the bedroom into your office and life is great. But then there's a no man's land where many of you as parents are still struggling, even though your son and daughter is perhaps even out of the home, but you're still struggling in the relationship. How do you deal with that? We want to help you today. Got some scripture. We got a lot of great help, and you can be a part of it as you call 888-888-1717, because sometimes parenting or being a parent of an adult son or daughter can be a bit sticky.
Hi, my name is Shannon. My question is regarding parenting one of our children. My husband and I are pretty much on the same page for two of our three children, but our oldest child, who's actually now an adult, is our challenge, and it just seems to be a battle between us, between my husband and I. And our oldest son has recently come back to the house to live with us, and it's become more apparent once again now that he's back in the house. He and my husband don't seem to click very well, and my husband doesn't really discipline until he gets to the point where he just explodes with him. And so I feel like I have to toe the line between them and try to have a good relationship with my son so that he has a relationship with one of us. So I tried to balance discipline and relationship, and it causes tension between my husband and I. So just trying to determine the best way to get some resolution in this relationship. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Shannon. Great way to open the show today, and love to have you all join in. We're a community of believers. We love the Lord. We want the best for our kids. I don't think you'd be listening to this program if you don't want the best for your kids, you know, and your grandchildren and so on. But sometimes the transition from childhood into adulthood is pretty sticky and difficult for some in terms of the relationship between the parent and child. Now, we all know we need boundaries. We know we're supposed to let them go, cut the strings. Come on. We all know those things. But sometimes we don't apply them or know how to apply those things in a healthy way. And so today I want you to ask yourself some questions like, what am I doing now that is helping my son or daughter become an adult? And what am I doing now that's not helping them become an adult? Am I serving them in some way that's helping me but not them? Am I doing something that helps me feel better about my responsibility or what I perceive as my responsibility so I don't feel so guilty anymore? But am I really helping my son or daughter? Here's another question, and it's kind of in your face, difficult to think about, but what if you were gone today? What if you guys were out of the scene? Is that 25-year-old ready to get on their own? Are you helping them get on their own, or through your behavior in some way, are you holding them back? And you know what? I believe that good parents fall into this trap. I think good parents, those of you who, we love our kids, we want the best for them, and so when you see them falling down, you want to jump in and help them, pick them back up and jump in and maybe provide in ways that later on you say, oh, maybe I'm doing too much. I don't know. What is it you have learned when you're walking down this path? But it is a difficult time for some people. Even C.S. Lewis made an interesting statement about this. C.S. Lewis said, 30 was so strange to me, when he turned 30, so strange to me, I really had to come to terms with the fact that I am now a walking and talking adult. And I think sometimes it's like we don't know how to transition into that next stage of being an adult. It was Paula Poundstone who said, adults are always asking their kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they ask that because they're looking for ideas. And we chuckle at some of these things that are half truth, right? And so I just want to say at the outset here, my wife Donna and I, we've been really blessed in this a question or arena. We have three young adults. They're adults, have their own families, transitioned, I think, pretty easily. If anything, I was a little too maybe controlling in the process, offering too many words of advice and wisdom. And so I've had to learn to throttle that a little bit. But great young people doing great job with their kids, loving the Lord, serving the Lord. The three totally different people. They have different ways of interacting in the world and how they, but they all love the Lord, and we're thankful for that. So we're very thankful. All right, come and join us. Amy's taking your calls today. Call, just hang on. She'll get to you. 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717. All right, let me go to the calls. Lina, is that your name in Arizona? Lina? Or is it Linda?
Are you talking to me?
Yes. Is it Linda or Lina?
Lena.
L-E-N-A. Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Thank you, Lena. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What is what's going
on? Listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Go right ahead. We have a little phone problem, but we'll see if we can hear you. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. My question is, my statement really is, I have a daughter who lives a lesbian lifestyle. She's married to a female. They know who I am and who I love is the Lord. Mm-hmm. They are very respectful to me, and they know that my witness is to please him.
Right.
So, but I do try to witness, but I don't know how to say this. I don't pound it in. I don't go over there with my Bible. In other words,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I mean, I agree.
I am. I'm a loving mom and stepmom, and but I just think there's more to do. I just think there's more that I can say, or more I can, and I'm hoping maybe some tips from you.
Well, this is a whole show in itself. Whenever we have a son or daughter that's living a lifestyle, whatever it is that we don't agree with or believe that it's biblical or would be honoring to Christ, okay? And that could be a lot of different ways that our kids can do that. But the principle remains the same. Jesus died for them, loves them. And like all of us, this is why we teach, when we become a follower of Christ, we need to know what God's intention is for life, all right? Not what we believe or what our desires are or what we think is most important. What is God's intention? And God has to do his work in the life of your daughter. What you have to do is do the connecting. It's interesting. I heard it this last week, and it kind of hit me. It was true. Our job in life is to connect people to Christ. It's God's work to do the convicting. Your prayer is, Lord, you know I love my daughter, and I love this woman that she's with, and you love them. You do the convicting in their life. You bring them to yourself. You show them your intention for their life and how you intend for life to be and marriage to be and family to be and what your intention is. But I want to be the connecting point and allow me to find opportunities to do that, to present you to them and frankly to a hurting world. You don't have to go 50 feet from the front door of your house to help connect someone to Christ. Because all around you today, in your neighborhood and in this town and in communities around the nation, around the world, we need to be connectors, taking people and presenting them to the Lord Jesus and allow God to do the convicting and the truth of Scripture to speak into their life. It's painful. Lena, I know I can hear you. I can hear it in your voice. And I think that's one of the dilemmas of being a, frankly, it's one of the dilemmas of being a good parent, a Christian parent, because we hold the values. We know what the Scripture teaches about what marriage represents. We know the Bible teaches between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we believe. A lot of people don't believe that, even people listening today. Your lifestyle might be totally contrary to that. My job is to just tell you the truth from what we see in Scripture and allow you to, before God, to read Scripture and understand what it teaches, see? And that's what intentional living is all about. We want to be connecting you and helping you daily to make those decisions that brings glory to God and benefit to yourself. All right. Thank you, Lena. We'll be praying for you. Helen in Michigan, how are you?
I'm okay.
All right. What's going on? You got a question?
Well, your person who screens the calls boiled it down to, I have a prodigal daughter.
Oh.
And she's in her 40s, and I'm very certain that a lot of it came through the college setting and the classes that she was taking. But we have become estranged, and it's very hard for our family to come together when I'm the one that's estranged. So,
what are you estranged over, Helen? What is the main thing that keeps you apart?
All roads lead to God.
So you're a follower of Christ, and she's rejected your faith, rejected her faith, rejected how she was raised. But why is she rejecting
Correct.
You? What's going on that causes her to reject you?
She's always called me churchy.
Are you?
So I don't know what that means, but do I bring God into the any conversation? Yeah, if it's appropriate, I do. That's where I'm at. I have not said I will not speak to you again the rest of my life, but she's decided that's what she needs to do.
Yeah. Well, Helen, my experience in working with people over many, many years on this topic is a couple things. One is when a person has rejected the faith of their family, the faith of their parents, and when they're together, it's almost in their own life. It's almost like a conviction in their own life, like the mirror's being held up and they don't feel comfortable. Right? They don't feel comfortable because they don't feel comfortable in the culture of your home, the belief of your home, the things that you stand for. And down deep, they know that you don't respect where they are and the decisions they've made. I mean, they're not going to feel warm and fuzzy in that relationship. Okay? That's just a fact. I guess, Helen, I would gravitate toward what we know that Scripture reminds us, that we should live our lives in such a way that God is elevated. They see Christ through us, but we don't become the Holy Spirit for them. Like I said to Lena a moment ago, we need to be connectors, not those who convict. And so I would encourage you, as I have hundreds of people over the years, prodigal daughter is writing you off because she thinks you're, quote, churchy, you have no opportunity to minister to her. It's gone. It's closed. If it were me, I would connect with my daughter at points of common interest. She's your daughter. I would listen to her. I would respect her in terms of not necessarily how she's living, but we're commanded in Scripture to respect everyone, give them proper respect. And I would stay connected with your daughter. I would love your daughter. I would pray for your daughter. I'd leave the door open. I wouldn't preach at her. And she knows all this. She grew up in your home. She knows what you believe. What she needs now is to know that you love her and care for her. And as that, hopefully the thawing can occur, And through your prayers, asking the Holy Spirit to soften her heart enough that you can have a relationship. Because here's a fact. Rules without a relationship create rebellion. And when you have rules that you're holding to and how I'm going to connect with my daughter, and if she doesn't fit up to this standard, I want to be able to tell her the truth. I hear you, Helen. I'm on your team. I love you, and I know you love your daughter. And as Christian parents and grandparents, we want to tell our kids the truth and our grandkids the truth. But here's a fact. We can also close the door. Christ was a master communicator. He knew who, he knew his audience. He knew who he was talking to. He knew what was going to help them. And the best parenting with a prodigal, just like the story of the daddy who had the prodigal son, I'm sure he prayed every day. He waited. He left the door open. He was ready to connect. And I think that's really, really important for you. Hey, listen, Helen, I'm going to ask people from coast to coast, friends of Intentional Living today, to pray for you, because I know we got thousands today who can relate with what you're experiencing.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. When you join us, you're on a team that's making a difference in a crazy upside-down world today. We are exhausted people going through this political season and hearing everything. We know what's going on. By the way, vote, okay? But it's a time in history where you and I, if we're a follower of Christ, young or old, no matter what our gender, age, whatever, we got to make a decision how we choose to live our lives. Because the messages that we're receiving online and radio and TV, whatever, are going to draw us away from the truth of Scripture. That's why the Intentional Living message is so very clear. We want to help you be affirmed every day that your faith matters, remind you that there's hope in Christ, and then equipping to live intentionally in Him. That's why we do this. And I thank those of you praying for us and standing with us. Come join us. Be a part of this team. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717 is the number, okay? Let's get to Jacob. You've been waiting there in New Mexico. Hey, Jacob, how you doing?
Hello, Dr. Randy. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. What's your question?
Well, I was listening to you talk earlier to a couple of other ladies, and I understand about being our job as being convicting our adult children, and you talked about connecting them to Christ. I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on how do we connect them to Christ, because they already know where we stand, and I don't beat them over the head with the Bible like the other lady said. You know, they know what my beliefs are, but how do I do the connecting without, you know, I understand like prayer and stuff like that, but how would I connect them just by example, or how would I do that?
Great question. Jacob, listen. When you look at the life of Christ, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute with a noise background there. Jacob, if you look at the life of Christ, he was a master at meeting people where they are. When he got to the woman at the well, he knew what was going on in her life. He talked to her in language and ways that were meaningful to her. The living water he talked about. When he talked to that rich young ruler, as he's referred to in the New Testament, he talked about possessions. He talked about his heart issues, where your heart is, where your possessions are, that's where your heart is. And go and sell everything. He wasn't trying to make him poor. He was simply saying, hey, where's your priorities? But taking that principle, I think, and understanding the uniqueness of each of our children. And Jacob, if you have a son or daughter that's interested in sports, be interested in sports with them. Spend time with them. Talk to them about sports. And of course, as they get older, maybe they'll turn and be interested in you. But often kids don't ask the parents, how are you doing? Right? They don't set you up. They don't tee the ball up so you can give them a spiritual response. But you can ask them how they're doing. What's going on in their life? And say something like, son, you know I believe in the power of prayer. How can I pray for you? What's working in your life right now and what's not working? And then don't come back with three answers and three tips, because that's what I would do, because that's what I do here, right, for ministry. But just listen to them and say, I'll pray for you. Here it is. I have found that most of us come to Christ. Listen carefully. I think most of us have come to Christ either through an aha moment, when there's been something the Holy Spirit revealed to us through a lesson or something we've read or speaking to our spirit, or through an oh no moment, death of a friend, cancer diagnosis, loss of a job, a divorce, whatever it is. And we can't manufacture those things. I think we are needing to keep the door open so we are there ready to be a part of our child's life when they get to a place that they need something more than their own conviction and their own answers to life. And it's at that moment that you can be a part of their life. Secondly, have you ever noticed that many times the person that will bring your son or daughter to Christ isn't you? You might be a testimony and an example, but it'll be a friend, a pastor, somebody else that comes along and confirms what you have been teaching and loving and sharing. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reveals himself and it becomes clear in the life of your son or daughter, and they come to Christ. So to answer your question directly, Jacob, the way we connect our kids is to be a person of authenticity in our faith, living our faith intentionally, that they can see Christ in us without the words that we speak. Because our kids don't need words. They need to see who we are as a person. And that's the key. All right. I'll tell you what, time's getting chewed up here quickly for this half hour. So we're going to stay in the studio at the bottom and continue to record for a show that'll air next Monday. So if you're a parent, you got a question, adult son or daughter, or want to join in the discussion, we love you. And we'd love to have you do so at 888-888-1717. Number six in this list of intentionals is take responsibility. It's the first law of intentional living, personal responsibility. Asking and answering the question, how have I contributed to the pain in my life, is an important act. The act of taking personal responsibility is what separates winners from losers in life. Losers blame situations and people and the world and the government and what have you. Winners accept reality as it is, and then they do something about it. One of the most effective ways of growing beyond pain is to take responsibility for any part, even if it's only a tiny part of the problem. See, until you own it, you can't grow beyond it. That's a clip from the featured lesson this month for all of our Intentional Living family here. Those of you supporting the ministry, thank you. Your monthly support matters. I'll say it again. Just call us during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My question is equitability with giving gifts to your children. When you have one child that has more of a need than others, and because of bad decisions of maybe buying bigger house and different kinds of cars and things like that he can, sending his kids to school, but still the financial need is with him and not with the other two, what is our responsibility as far as keeping him out of jail, as I say, but that's just a euphemism. He's not going to go to jail, but just trying to keep his head above water before he has a heart attack over it all, and not giving to the other two because they don't have the need. That is really tearing my husband and I apart. We were retired. We have the money. We have what we call a special needs kid. It's not physical, mental. He just has a different need. Anyway, if you could broach this on your radio program, that would just be wonderful.
Where are all the easy questions? This is a tough one because everybody's going to come down on a different place on this one. They're going to cut the pie at a different point, and I understand that. I'm just going to make a couple observations. We shouldn't be helping our children do anything, our adults now, do anything, if it's going to continue to motivate or encourage or support irresponsibility. Don't give a buck to your kids if the result is going to be something that's going to further harm their life. Does that make sense? On the other hand, if you have a son or daughter who is intentionally and actively trying to work on their life and they're moving in the right direction, I think we can come alongside and support them. And you know what? You can also support your other son or daughter in different ways. Who knows? I don't know. You know what your financial need is and what it is, and there might be some ways you can help them with things for their home or their family or their kids or whatever. I don't think you have to do tit for tat and get everything down to the dime. I don't think that's God's intention. We're all different. But if you're not at least trying to have some fairness and that gets around in the family, that can create a dynamic as well. And come on, some of you are listening saying that's exactly what's happened in my family. We've got the prodigal that gets all the attention, all the money and all the whatever. And the rest of us who are the good son or daughter, we see the example in scripture, right? And we're kind of left out to dry, as it were. And so parent, be wise, be balanced. But there's a principle here, and the principle is we should never do anything that's helping our child continue to stay stuck or in a hole or destructive in their life. All right, maybe there's going to be some easier questions coming up on the next show here. I don't know. But we're going to continue. This is fun. We're going to continue this. Maybe you've got a question for me. Maybe you got some one thing that's worked for you. We got some great stories I'll try to get to in this next show, which we're going to record right now, and it will air next Monday. And so come and join us. Tell us your story. Give us your question. Love to hear from you at 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717 to be a part of Intentional Living today. You know, it was John in third John chapter 1 who said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. And that's what we want for our kids too, don't we? I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.